Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin arrahmanir rahim maliki yawmiddin wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulih sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Fa'udzu billahi minasy syaithanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Innallaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabiyyi ya ayyuhalladzina amanu sallu 'alaihi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alim hakim. Allahumma rabbi ishrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin. Wa qala ta'ala innal hasanat yudhibna sayyiat. Sadaqallahu al-'azim. My dear friends, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with the month of Shaban, and of course today Juma. You know, my friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his special attachment for Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given you and me, his ummah, a very special status and position. This is not the time and the place to go into greater detail for us to understand Allah's special favor upon us because of our ta'alluq as ummah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many things we can discuss regarding that particular issue. Take this month of Shaban. Few days ago, we gathered together in the masajid to listen to the discussion of Laylatul Bara. Am I right? If you are paying attention to the speakers that were speaking, and I'm sure all of them touched on that particular point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, informed us via Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, he informed Bibi Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And I know Moana had discussed that on big night here in this masjid, where Allah's Nabi informed Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, "Ya Aisha, do you know what night this is?" She said, "No, I don't." He mentioned many things, but one important point was what? In this particular night that's gone past already, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants forgiveness, complete maghfirah, blanket, to so many people whose number equal the number of hair of the goats of the Banu Kalb tribe. Analyze this. You and I know the golden rule. If we do a wrong, what is the requirement to remove that sin? Regret, acknowledgement of the sin, beg Allah for forgiveness, promise Allah never to commit that sin again, then we can have some hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that sin. But the night that went past, what happened? The master is saying, "Ya Aisha, in this particular night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants forgiveness totally to so many people whose hair equal the number of hair of the goats of the Banu Kalb tribe." What are you seeing here? Open history, study the past ummah, and we don't have much detail, but the little that we know, when they committed a wrong, then they had to go through great difficulty to remove that sin. In fact, there was an ummah in the past, just in passing, I'm sharing this with you. When they committed a particular crime at night, outside the door was inscribed that the dweller of this house committed such and such sin. That means in no time passes by, look, we got this tendency, I know. When we go past somebody's house, especially when we know the person, what's our reaction, should I say? We turn to look, am I right, in that direction. So people who are going past, who know so and so, when they look and they see inscribed there, certain sin was committed by this man, so the whole world at large comes to know. Am I right? When it comes to this ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his mercy concealed our sins. Yes or no? And great ulama always say this in the bayan and in the duas, "Ya Allah, up to now you have covered my sins. Up to now, the people in the eyes have high regard for me. O Allah, do not expose my sin before the eyes, lest I become disgrace and humble in the eyes of Allah. Allah's mercy. Which reminds me of something else again, quickly. Just throwing you one, two points, important points. There was a dialogue between Adam alayhi salam and his son Shu'aib, the second Nabi that came in this world, his son. Father is telling his son about Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who of course is going to be Bani Adam. He tells him, Ya Shith, not Shu'aib, Shith alayhi salam. Ya Shith, right now you are carrying in your body the noor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he made Adam's body, he took the noor of Muhammad and planted in his body. And of course, it passed on until finally Abdullah and then Bibi Amin and then he was born. We know that. We don't want to go in that detail. But the point I'm making here is, he says, son, be careful how you conduct yourself. This noor of Muhammad, he's going to be our offspring in the future sometime. Allah knows when. But you make sure you have the highest regard and you conduct yourself very, very well. And you know the discussion in the particular kitab states, he went to great detail describing the virtues of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The son is telling his father, oh my father, the way you are highlighting the virtues of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are the father, he'll be an offspring in the future generation, sometime in the future, long distant future, right? But, and normally, what's the normal condition, should I say? Father is always superior to son. That's a normal, and of course you got the exception as well. So he says, my father, it seems to me that the son has excelled the father in status. So Adam alayhi salam says, oh my son, listen, leave me one side. And leave Muhammad one side, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The virtue of his ummah even supersedes myself. Now, of course, we can't supersede him. That is humility. But he's trying to show his son, oh my son, from the knowledge given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am seeing that they will even supersede me in status. Of course, that's not going to happen. But we're talking now the way the virtues are. Virtues of the particular ummah. So he says, you know, son, see, I committed a sin in Jannah. We all know the sin. Okay? And Quran says, wasn't sin too, because sin normally planned, an error. But an error on the part of a Nabi is a very serious thing. We don't want to go into that detail. But we are now using his words. He's saying, oh my son, I committed one sin. As a result of that, Allah expelled me from my house. Allah separated me from my wife. Isn't that a fact? Allah removed my clothes from my body. I had to leave my house and come into this world. And for many, many years, I had to beg Allah forgiveness for that one error. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged that I go to Makkah Mu'azzama. And then to Arafat. And there in Arafat, when I finally made my final plea of forgiveness, there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showered me with His mercy and granted me forgiveness. He says, the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they sin, not one but many, Allah will not expel them from their homes. Allah will not separate them from their partner. They will not have to leave home and go far off to beg forgiveness of their sin. They may commit a sin outside, enter the home and say, Allah, I'm sorry, Allah will make maaf. Just an idea of what we are. And we don't value and appreciate our position. Why? Because we don't do the reading. We don't do the studying. We don't do the listening. Sad to say, our common guilt, we as Musallis, generally speaking, as Muslims, the only time we get some idea or some facts that enter the mind is when we come for Yawmul Jumu'ah, Salam, right? Or some big night. And the rest of the year, Khatam. I know many people who spend the entire Sunday cover to cover and look at the Sunday people. What is there by? Nothing but depression, suppression, oppression. Am I right? If you spend the same amount of time to open Kalamullah, open Hadith of Nabi and open other Islamic kitab and increase our knowledge. Look at Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to make dua. Ki Allah must increase his knowledge. Allah commanded Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa qur rabbi zidni ilma. Am I right? O Allah, O my Rabb, increase me in knowledge. And Allah did that. Now why, he is that personality whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, granted him so much of knowledge we cannot even compare. No way can we even compare how much of knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whatever knowledge Allah granted him, some was kept secret, some was required to be transmitted. And look at this, my dear friends. It required a band of more than 140,000 sahaba to have that ilm and knowledge distributed among them. Yes or no? Open the books of hadith. What do you find? You and I, we just look at the text. وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That's all. But open kitab like Bukhari. Open kitab like Tirmidhi. What you will find? Imam Bukhari will say, I am reporting from so and so, he from so and so, five or six names, each hadith, and then finally some sahabi's name, and then finally, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And look at the variety of hadith. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Bukhari itself got roughly about 7,000 ahadith. And look at the other ones. And on that point, other something else. About 2 odd years ago, Radio Channel Islam had a program which happens on a Friday normally. There is an excellent presenter, Inayat Wadi is his name. And really, he brings up some real gems now and then. And one particular night, he interviewed a lady from Philippines. She was born a Christian, married a Christian, had about 9, 10 children, all sons, mashallah. And then she's in that age where now the sons are all grown up, and then she now directs her life towards, because she's in a Christian domain, she's like a deendar person. So she now got involved in her deen and became a missionary, and then she goes on, of course, the program. Finally, her superiors gave her one homework, one task. We want you to study Islam and see what faults you can find in there. Subhanallah. Alright, she got down to studying and what did she study first? Of course, the Quran. Okay. She read through it cover to cover and she was amazed at what she saw. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Quran Sharif is what? A means of source and hidayat. A means of hidayat. Like look at the Ramadan Khamina famous verse, Shar Ramadan alladhi unzila fihil Quran, hudal linnas wa bayyinatin min huda wal furqan. Allah is saying the month of Ramadan is that month in which Allah revealed the Quran, and the Quran is a source of hidayat. Yes or no? For who? For the entire mankind. Yeah, she took the Quran to study and find faults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided, no, she will not find fault. Through this Quran, I will give a hidayat. It didn't take long, my dear friends, that she embraced the deen of Islam. Husband Christian, 9, 10 sons all, what they are? Christian, she is Muslim. She abandoned all that. And then she got so attached to Quran, and of course the deen of Islam. And then she mentioned somewhere in that discussion, she said to the listeners out there, I have read the Quran cover to cover 26 times. I'm not talking tilawat. Tilawat something else. I read the Quran how many times? 26 times cover to cover. And I read Bukhari 26 times cover to cover. Come on, raise your hands. Ask any alim, including myself, to pick up his hand and say with confidence, yes, I have read the entire Quran in a language that I understand the entire message, and I read the entire Bukhari cover to cover at least one time, icona. She put the Ummah to shame. Here is a recent entry into Islam. This is their condition. People that phoned in, many of them cried. And they even said, if it was possible, we will shed tears of blood because we were born Muslim, and this kind of devotion that you have, we don't have. So what am I telling you? We need to spend the time which Allah grants us in pursuit of the ilm and knowledge that has come to us via Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But coming back to the topic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directed a very special favor on the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You saw Adam alayhi salam just now. You saw another nation in the past. What is our condition? You saw Shah Barat as far as we are concerned. Now Ramadan is around the corner. Within a few days, inshallah, I think by next Friday, we should have the first Tarawih. From the calendar, I see Thursday around 12 o'clock or so is the birth of the moon. So inshallah, safely we can say, first Tarawih should take place on Friday night next week. Now, I just want to touch a few points about Ramadan itself. We rather prepare from now and not at the last minute. But before that again, you know, Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala, I'm sure you heard the name, all of you, right? After the 5th Islamic century, the greatest wali to appear in this world is Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, known as Ghospak and many other titles, Mahmud al-Subhani and Mahfuq al-Qani and so on. Now he, in one of his kitabs, he recorded the following points. He says, the amal of our predecessors, he goes back to the Sahaba. And of course the Tabi'in and so on. What was the amal? We're talking about the, you know, those of that high caliber, high level. And of course, high caliber, high level, today we got a handful. And that time the vast majority was of that condition. Look at the famous hadith which you hear, Jumma Khutbah. Wa khayru ummati. You guys know that one. Wa khayru ummati qarni thumma alladhina yalunahum thumma alladhina yalunahum. Allah Nabi said, the best of people in my ummah, from my ummah, are those that are living in my era. And they are sahaba. And what is sahaba's position, bottom line? 100%, each and every one, Allah gave them certificate of success, pass. Whole lot. Without question. All of them, not only jannati, jannati is place. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a statement one time, ashabi kan nujum, fabi ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum. All my sahabas are like stars. Whichever one you follow, you will find guidance. Subhanallah. This is their position. Anyone, you take your pick. From the highest level to the one standing in the last. Allah Nabi is saying, you follow anyone, you will be on the path of hidayat. 100% pass. We come tabi'in, we'll say 99%. We come down, tabi'in is down. And of course, Allah knows what is our position. What is the point? Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani says, the amal of the predecessors was as follows in the month of Shaban. Among the things that they used to engage in, the moment the moon of Shaban was sighted, they will now increase the Quran tilawa. Quran tilawa was the normal routine all the time, especially in the morning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودَ. Allah is saying that the Quran recitation at Fajr time is witnessed by who? Witnessed by the Malaika who come and go up and down. They are seeing. And today, sad to say, the buzz of the Quran tilawa is gone. Many of you are about my age and maybe slightly older than me, like Mr. Didat. I'm sure, Mr. Dida, you will recall, as a young man, did you not see your elders at home? After the Fajr Salat, what was the amal? Did they go in the kitchen, your mothers? No, they sat with the Quran. And where did they sit? Generally, I know in my house, what was the position? On the bed, the pillow is on the bed, and the pillow was the table for the Quran, and this was the normal amal in those, I'm talking 50 years or so ago. What is today? Gone. Today, mashallah, Radio CII, Radio Islam, and Radio Al-Ansar, and the Tilawa. That is not Tilawa. In your shop, that's the same story. That is not tilawa. Tilawa is where you yourself engage yourself. That is the tilawa. That is the tilawa that will bring the barakat. Not that. Not that CD or the DVD. This is the thing. So he says they used to engage now intensely in Quran tilawa. One was one amal. Second amal, they used to sit down and work out their zakat. But before that, they used to now get down, make hisab kitab of their financial status and position. If people borrowed, they went to them, okay, buy, sort your debt out. I want time, okay, you got it. If they were owing, they made sure they paid them. Because as Ramadan, as Shaban was coming to the end, now the hisab is all ready and the accounts are ready. Now it makes it easy for them to determine what? Quickly, the zakat. And before Ramadan can start, they will start paying out the zakat, distribute zakat. And what was the reason in Shaban? Our policy, mashallah, in this modern era is what? When we take out zakat, bhai? I'm asking you, quickly. Huh? Ramadan. And all the appeal forms, when they come out? Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, Rajab. I'm asking you, when? Why? That's another issue. We touch on that, inshallah, this time. He said they used to take out the zakat in the month of Shaban so that it makes life easy for the poor and the needy in the month of Ramadan. And what's our position? The poor and the needy bichara is going where? Door to door. Am I right? And we, unfortunately, we take a wrong advantage, but it's there. If you ask me now, Mauli Sahib, now why are we taking in Ramadan? What's the obvious answer? Why are we giving zakat in Ramadan? What's the obvious answer? The obvious answer is that, ke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases quickly the reward of every action in the month of Ramadan. You know it. Nafil ibadat goes up to value of farz. And farz ibadat multiplied by 70. Who said that? Nabiye Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any amal of farz performed in the month of Ramadan times 70. I normally give the example if you fail to understand nafil and farz. Very simple. Allah is saying, oh my servant, bring me a silver coin and I'll give you gold coin. Bring me one gold coin, I will give you 70. There's the example, Latif. So he says they used to take out the zakat in the month of Shaban so that it makes life easy for the destitute in the month of Ramadan. And what else they used to do? They used to increase the darood on Nabiye Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm sure you know and I know. We are normally told on Friday, increase your darood. Isn't that so? That was a command made by Nabiye Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quickly now, when Allah Nabi said, increase your darood on Friday upon me because it is presented to me. Now, increase your darood. What's the other side of the coin here? If this is the head side, what's on the flip side? It says, it means now, a Musalman, O my Ummati, throughout the 7 days of the week, for 6 days, you have a quota of darood upon me, whatever it is. When Friday comes, what must you do? Increase the volume. Are we fulfilling that? Perhaps we are on a Jummah sometime by increase the root, Wallahumma sallam khalas ho gaya. And the rest of it shutti. No, no. We are told ke be constant. And you must thank people like Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, Mohana Thanvi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, who to make life easy for us, they collected from the various ahadith, the variations of the darood and Nabiye Kareem sallallahu sallam, which we now have in the form of 40 darood. So you go back to the advices and the information they shared. He said, now, what did they do? Quran tilawa intensity, darood intensity, zakat, first the hisab and the kitab, and then finally zakat. And then they'll wait for the sighting of the moon of Ramadan. And the moment that used to happen, then they used to get to the masajid and spend the entire month in atakah. My dear friend, time is now, inshallah, we'll come back some other time when I get the dawah once more and we'll share some more thoughts with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept me, accept all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to derive the maximum benefit in the coming month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tandurusti. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our humble efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among that list that was dictated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these people are bari'u minan nar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us stable. There are many out there that are not well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them shafa'a kamila. Those who passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them maghfirat and grant them dhanb al-firdaws. Bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillah bil alamin.